Hey y'all, time for the movie retrospective. This one kind of came out of nowhere, and this is how this happened. I got a message from one of our patrons, Jonna. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Jonna and Scott, they've been our patrons for a really long time. And she messaged me and she said, oh, I noticed that you guys have been doing like a lot of kind of cult classic 80s movies and stuff. She's like, you should get around to doing The Gate. She's like, fun fact, Scott, who is, you know, one of our patrons, was an extra in that movie.
Oh, okay.
And she sent me a screenshot with a little arrow pointing, which I asked them, I said, is it okay if I put it in the video? And they said that it was. So he was only 16 at the time. He was just one of the kids at the party. You know what I mean? Which if you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I was just like so delighted. And then I saw that it was one of the free movies on YouTube. So I said, well, why not? I had another movie scheduled for this week, but I said, we can switch it out. So we'll do The Gate for this week. And because I had seen it a bunch of times when I was a kid, and I really enjoyed it. And Tom had never seen it.
No, I saw it sitting like...
Unbelievably.
I saw it with sitting up on like the shelves at like Blockbuster and other places where you could rent videos. I would see it all the time. Actually, it was that they had it at the local corner store when in Mississippi. I would go down and visit my dad. It was there forever. Because they were renting videos out, and I never fucking rented it. And seeing it, I should have.
You would think that would be like right up your alley. Although you might have been, maybe it was 87, so you might have been slightly too old for it. Maybe.
I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, okay.
I just saw the cover. And I was like, that. I don't think I like that one. That one looks cheap. You know what I mean? I didn't know any anybody in it.
Right.
And I was just looking looked at the back of it. You know what I mean? And I was all like, who are these people? You know what I mean?
Who are these people?
Yeah, who are these people? What movie is this? I never heard about this movie. It wasn't like, movie with Jeffrey Combs or anything. You know what I mean? So I just didn't think it was going to be any good. So I never rented it. But watched it, and it was real good. Real good. It was, kind of like something Spielberg would have made. Kind of like, I thought at the time it kind of had a similar tone to Poltergeist.
Yeah, it has a very Poltergeisty type of vibe.
Yeah, mixed with kind of like, I don't know, Gremlins or something?
Yeah, it's definitely falls in that, and I think this is why a lot of, 80s horror kids remember it so fondly. Not only because it's a really good movie, but also because it falls right in that sweet spot where it's like a horror movie, but kids can still watch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But kids can watch it, but it's not like lame.
I remember thinking it was going to be like really low budget, like a really super low B movie. You know, that's what I thought it would be like. But I saw it had great special effects. It was a good movie for its
the
time.
The stop motion in this is still outstanding.
Yeah, all practical effects. And,
yeah.
But I didn't know at the time, so I never rented it.
Yeah.
And it's because it wasn't a Hollywood movie. Hollywood didn't talk.
Yeah,
about
it's
this.
Like it's a Canadian-American co-production.
Right. So it didn't get any promotion in the United States. Yeah.
Although it actually in the U.S. when it came out, it was second, I think, and it made quite a bit of money because this only cost $2.5 million to make, amazingly, which was pretty cheap even for 87 when it came out. But it's just such a great fucking, and also this was Stephen Dorff's first movie. He was just a little kid in this. I don't know how old he was when he was in this, maybe like 11 or 12 or something, which we couldn't figure out how old he was. Obviously he went on to be in Blade. He was in Cecil B. Demented. He was in like all these other kind of fucking movies. And so this was his first one. And all the acting in this is actually really good. I was watching a couple other, because I did. Brandon Tennell did a review of this because on his Canucksploitation, because he's Canadian, so he'd always does every year. He does a Canadian film festival like 1 month, and I also saw it on Red Letter Media's review. They did one on it as well, and they were talking about one of the coolest things about this movie, other than it falling into that really like, I don't want to say kid friendly horror, even though that's kind of what it is. Like you said, it's kind of like Gremlins or Poltergeist or Monster Squad or something like that. This is probably scarier than Monster Squad.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're calling it kid friendly. Not really. It wouldn't be considered kid friendly by today's standards.
It's PG-13.
It's PG-13, but It's quite hardcore, actually.
It's pretty gory for a kid's movie.
For having kids in it. And, you know, there's a lot of strong language that you couldn't get away with today in it. And it was very different because an American version of some shit like this would be like Goonies or, you know, or something like the Gremlins. And the kids don't really go... In the American versions, the kids don't really go up against any kind of serious threat or any kind of serious challenge, really. And they get out of shit quite easily. In this one, man, the kids fucking suffered, man, fighting demons and shit.
Yeah, it's demons almost... grabbing them. It's almost Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't occur to me at the time, but then when I was thinking about it, I'm like, you know, that basically the whole gist of the plot is that, you know, Stephen Dorff plays a kid named Glenn, and he has his neighbor, whose name is Terry, who I think is his same age or a little bit older. Like, Terry's like a nerdy heavy metal kid. And Glenn has an older sister who is 15 or almost 16. Their parents go out of town for the weekend or whatever. And, you know, the sister, Alexandra, or Al as she's called, insists that she is old enough to not need a babysitter. You know, she can look after Glenn, she can look after the kid and everything like that. So the parents decide to let them stay all weekend by themselves. And it turns out that they sort of accidentally summon some demons from a hole in the backyard where a rotten tree was pulled out. Yeah. With the help of... That's the thing. It's like they find a geode and they crack it open. And I think what ends up happening, they don't do it on purpose, but it's like the kid next door, Terry, he has this this album. You know, this is like the age of like the satanic heavy metal yeah. and stuff like that. So it's kind of this cool album design. And this band, you know, I guess I can't remember what they were called, but it was like some kind of funny name that started with an S. But it has like the album has this booklet in it called The Dark Book, which I guess kind of like an equivalent of the Necronomicon. And it says how to summon demons, and Terry's like, oh, you know, the band, they're European, and my dad brought me this back from Europe and stuff, and like this band only made one album, and they all died in a plane crash, just like Lynyrd Skynyrd, I guess, or whatever. And
They sounded like Spinal Tap.
They did, actually. Yeah, it sounded a little bit like Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was that whole thing. So they end up, like, a whole bunch of stuff happens that, like, accidentally summons the demons from this hole in their backyard. Like, I think, like, Glenn, like, gets a splinter in his finger and it gets blood in there. You know, they play the record and it's
like...
Now,
let me stop you right here.
All right.
To the younger audience, this might sound really fucking far out and, like, really outlandish, but you have to understand that during this era, there was no social media. If you were young, social media was actually this music and sometimes, like, Circus Magazine, which was about damn rock music.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, you know, it depended on, you know, also what ethnic group you were. You know, rap was kind of a similar scene. You know, if you were black, you were up with the fucking rap bands and all the drama that was going on between them. And you knew everybody's personalities. And they had fucking magazines dedicated to it. Kind of like martial arts and wrestling. Well, in the fucking heavy metal scene during this time, you would sit there in your room as a kid and listen to a whole fucking album, every song back to back, and you'd sit there and look at that damn album cover listening to it. Because chances are, you know, you could, you know, so you had MTV, you know, when you were older and shit, but you probably couldn't be jamming out too much with MTV, or MTV wouldn't be playing your black metal albums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you had to just look at the damn album and fucking listen to the damn music and trying to, you know, go through all the lyrics. Well, the guys that had these bands knew you were doing that, so they would put all kinds of outlandish shit in the fucking album cover and in the lyrics and all these fucking secret messages and hidden messages. And it got to the point to where you, as a fucking heavy metal kid, went out of your way to go look for these fucking messages, and you probably were just inventing messages.
Well, probably.
You know, reading into shit.
Because if you play stuff backwards, like you know, it's like audio pareidolia, where it sounds like something, but it's probably nothing.
So when you're seeing this movie, and you're seeing this kid do this, get into this music and this album cover, and because he looked at the lyrics too long and did this and that, and it actually brought demons out, you're like, well, yeah, of course, I've been trying that shit for fucking years. It finally fucking worked. You know, right? That's what you're talking about here. And it was just a different time. Yeah. No.
Well, and I think too, one of the other cool things about this movie, I really liked that they nailed, I mean, that was kind of like, it wasn't, the kids were not annoying in it. The kids were like realistic. Like, yeah. I feel like they talked realistically. Well, they did realistic shit.
It was because it was Canadian. Had it been American, it would have been fucked up. The only good American one really that had kids in, if you ask me, maybe like Lost Boys. Lost Boys was not. Remember how they had a couple of the...
Although they were like older, but...
They were a little bit older, but they were. It was kind of like watching Lost Boys. They were kids that were watchable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though they were younger, like you said.
And so I like that they did that. They didn't make them... And like you said, they were actually in danger. I mean, some messed up stuff happens in this movie. And I've heard that people that saw this when they were kids back in 1987, like some of the shit in there, like stuck with them like forever. Like one, one of the particular things with where Glenn, Stephen Dorff's character, when I guess the demon, I guess I didn't get this the first time I watched it, but when we were rewatching it, that it seemed like, why didn't the demon take him or kill him? I think it's because the demon thought that he had summoned him on purpose.
Yeah.
So he was like the master of it or
maybe
something?
Maybe he had command of it, maybe. And he
Because like when he had the eye in his hand.
Yeah, he reached down, grabbed and made an eye grow out of his hand.
Yeah, and he looked like that. Like, and there was like an eyeball in his hand. And it was like a real eyeball.
He may have some way asked for that and it gave it to him. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. And well, another cool thing too is that there's a lot of stuff that's like subtle. You know, like there's stuff that's like the symbols that are drawn on the wall, like the stuff that's in the dark book, like inside the album, you really kind of have to look at the artwork in there and stuff like that to kind of explain like what is happening, like how everything ties together.
Yeah. The little people carving the guy up. It foreshadowed a bunch of stuff that happened.
It really did. Yeah.
There's these little demons that come out of the ground at certain times and they're little like fucking people and they look great.
I still can't believe how fucking awesome those special effects are.
They're probably about 10 inches tall, about the size of a G.I. Joe doll. And they're swarming on guys, you know, swarming on these kids and trying to cut them up and do weird shit. I don't know how they did it. It's practical effect. It didn't look like stop motion to me. Some of it is
stop motion and some of it is forced perspective.
That's what I thought, forced perspective. Kind of like in that Cat's Eye movie with the little goblin that came out of the damn
wall. And it still looks good. That's like really a simple fucking special effect to do. It's like really it doesn't even cost that much shit. They even did it in Lord of the Rings, like with the hobbits and stuff, to make them look smaller. And particularly the one scene where Terry falls into the hole, like into the hole in the backyard, and all the little demons are like down there and they're like grabbing his leg and stuff like that. That looks
real.
Yeah. That looks like little bitty demons are like grabbing him and trying to pull him back in. It doesn't look like a fake leg. It doesn't look like fake little demons or anything like that.
No, they got it right.
It looks really fantastic. And the one kind of showstopper, I think, because the demons themselves, the design of them is like really, really good. It's like really, really creepy. So when they do forced perspective, like I said, it's dudes in costumes and like puppets and things like that. And then some of it's stop motion. But the one scene where, I guess earlier in the movie, Terry tells this, like, what is supposedly an urban legend that, oh, hey, Glenn, when they were working on your house, like, a workman died and they, like, walled him up inside the wall. Like, they were trying to, like, freak each other out and stuff.
Yeah, he's in there, though.
Which is, like, later on in the movie, I guess the demons kind of, like, pull stuff out of your head, like, to scare you, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And so a workman, like, falls out and he's, like, a zombie and shit. And then there's one point where he just, like, falls forward. Like, you know, without, you know, just falls forward like that. And then when he hits the floor, he turns into, like, all these demons. And apparently that was done in camera. And I cannot figure out how they fucking did it. It's not CGI.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
Looking back on it, because, you see, in 87, I had not heard of this movie.
Yeah.
I just saw it at the video rental place. I kind of think that maybe the Hollywood and the theater gangsters may have been slightly threatened by this movie, so it probably had a very limited release. It didn't have any promotion that I know of. It did. If it had a promotional campaign, I didn't hear about it.
It did. I remember when it came out.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't. It must have not been very far reaching. Maybe it had to do with what region you were in. And I didn't have any friends talking about it, so I knew nothing about it. You know, until recently. But I remember that poster and the, you know what I mean, the cover of the box.
Yeah.
With the damn face coming out of the hole in the ground with the claws.
Yeah.
I remember that, but I never rented it. Didn't think it was going to be any good.
It's interesting because, like I said, it did get to, like, the second place, like, at the box office.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
It only cost $2.5 million to make, and I believe it made $14 million in the theater. And then it started to, like, once it went to video, it started getting, like, a bigger, you know, video and cable. It started getting a much bigger, like, audience and, like, became a cult classic.
Nowadays, you can go online and see what's number two at the box office. Back in 87, you couldn't. You'd have to get some kind of Hollywood magazine.
Yeah, Variety.
It would never be mentioned
or
on...
Watch Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, but they had that. It really wouldn't be mentioned on mainstream television. You might have to watch a special program, but, you know, when you're a teenage guy, you don't give a shit about that, man.
Yeah.
I was chasing girls. I didn't care about that. But it just never... I never heard of it. Never heard anything about it. I just saw it later, a couple years later up there at VHS rental.
Yeah.
And, you know, fuck, man, I'd have known, I'd have rented it or seen it seen it in a theater. It was good.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's kind of one of those cool movies, and, you know, it might be just because I'm older and I saw it when I was, you know, a teenager, but I still think it holds up. And from what I've read, I like, you know, because I was watching a bunch of other reviews of it, and some people were commenting because on... Red Letter Media, the one guy was saying, he's like, I wonder how it holds up. He's like, you know, because I love it, but that's because, you know, I'm in my 40s and I saw it when I was a kid. And he's like, I wonder if it would hold up for people in their 20s or people, you know, in their 20s and 30s and their children, like if it would still be good to them. And a bunch of people came on and commented, they're like, hey, I'm 20 and I loved this movie. I just saw it, you know, and some people were saying that this was one of the first ones that they showed their kids, like when they were trying to get their kids into horror. You know, this one, Gremlins, Monster Squad, The Lady in White, which actually was one of my favorites from that time period. Because there was, like, a really lot of really good, you know, ostensibly kids' movies, but that had, like, a lot of horror elements to them. And like I said, this one, other than, like, the fucking demons, they essentially summon demons, you know, there's, and all that kind of horrible shit. There's also one scene where Glenn and Al... you know, the brother and sister, they go outside like in the middle of all the chaos and they think that their parents have come home early because their parents are like walking up the driveway. And then the dad like picks up Glenn by the neck saying like, you've been bad. Yeah, and then Glenn like sticks his fingers through his dad's face.
Yeah.
And then like all this fucking shit comes out and then he pulls his dad's head off.
Yeah.
And it's like all this fucking gory ass shit in like a fucking kid's movie, which I just thought was like really, really funny. But as I said, I think that's kind of why a lot of people have, you know, nostalgia for a lot of these 80s movies is because even though it was a kid's movie, there was shit in it that when you were a kid, you're like, oh man, I probably shouldn't be watching this, you kind of thing. It was like, you know, it was scary, but that's kind of what kids like that. So, you know what I mean? It was just kind of the same with Poltergeist with like the kid, with like the guy like going to the bathroom and tearing his face off and like the chicken with all the maggots on it and stuff like that, where it's just had these couple scenes where you're like, wow, that's pretty fucked up for like a PG-13.
One of the things I noticed that I liked about it was that they got the fashion right. A lot of times in a late 80s movie, like in 87, they'd have the people dressed up, but they were dressed up in clothes that you wouldn't see on the street in 87. They were more like costumes or something that some fashion designer, you know, like product placement. You know what I mean? People didn't really dress like you actually dressed. But in this movie, they did.
Yeah.
The girls, especially, with the way they had their hair crimped and the fucking...
The one girl that had the bangs, like, sticking up like that. It looked crazy, but you know what?
They did that.
I knew a girl in high school that had hair almost exactly like that. Except it was long and not hers. Like, the girl in the movies was short, and she had, like, the bangs like that. But I knew a girl that had bangs.
In 87, I was in the Downriver area, Downriver of Detroit in Michigan, and this is a Canadian movie, and that's how they all looked.
Yeah.
In the Michigan area, too, that the fashion was the same in 87. Those damn colorful flowered shirts, the weird fucking the neon colors.
Uh-huh.
Neon, you know, two and three different kinds of neon.
Layered socks. Like the one sock over the other sock with two different colors. I remember
that. The shoes, all that shit.
And then, like, the little white kids.
Yep.
I remember that kind of shit, too.
Yep. And then the boys wearing flannel and shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, they did a really good job. It's like, you know what I mean? It's, this really does seem like it was written by someone who, you know, knew a lot about kids, because it wasn't like talking down to kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, the kids were not annoying. They actually had to, like, you know, man up and, you know, get dad's shotgun, get all this other kind of shit, and, like, get rid of all this, like.
Yeah, they actually had to fight.
Right. And it's like, it was really, really awesome. And I liked, too, the way, I liked the relationship between the brother and the sister and how that was kind of like the heart of the story. But they didn't, like, smack you over the head with it. You know what I mean? Like, the whole point of him having to, like, for him to defeat the demon, he had to use, like, the rocket that was, like, a symbolic of his relationship with his sister, because he'd given it to her for her birthday, and she was growing up, and he didn't want her to grow up because they had hung out, and now she was getting too old and wanted to be, like, go do girly shit at the mall, and he was kind of bummed out about it. So that whole kind of dynamic played into it, but they didn't oversell that. It was just very, very subtle, like, you know what I mean? And I really like that they didn't just smack you on the head with, like, how fucking heartwarming the shit was. It was just, it was there, but it wasn't, like, made a big deal out of.
If you're basically dealing with a movie that is a Canadian equivalent of a Spielberg flick, but I would say a little bit more of a harder edge to it. It can hold its own against a Spielberg flick of that time, especially when you consider how cheap it cost to make it.
I still can't believe that it was only $2.5 million.
It's definitely punching away above its weight.
Especially considering how fucking awesome that stop motion looks, how awesome the little demons look. Yeah. Even the really big demon, like at the end, that has like the arm, he's essentially like a much larger version of the little ones, except he has like more arms and more tentacles and more eyes and stuff. Even that looks fucking great.
And the score is kind of like something out of a Spielberg flick. It has that tone. It has that...
Yeah, it's like a suburban kind of thing where kids, tone. Like, accidentally, like, through really no fault of their own, you know, get in this horribly Lovecraftian world-ending situation and have to, like, you know, use their wiles to get out of it. Like, they can't escape from it and they have to, like, kind of pull together and figure out what to do about.
Reminded me a lot of Poltergeist, kind of like Canadian.
Yeah, it is very much like that. Like, tonally, it is very much like that. And even like the house, even though this was shot in Canada, you know, the house, the neighborhood, the whole like middle class kind of suburban family, that whole dynamic is the same. It's funny because, and Brandon makes a lot of jokes about this too, because he's Canadian, and he's always like, a lot of the Canadian movies at the time, they didn't really want you to know that they were Canadian, I guess because they thought if it was American, it was like a much wider audience. So they'd always kind of try to do shit like put little American flags, like they did in Black Christmas, like they put the little American flag on the cop's desk and shit like that. Even though every now and then, this one you probably wouldn't know it was Canadian. Every now and then, like, somebody says a boot or something, and it's, like, just very subtle, and you're like, I got that.
It could almost be Michigan, though.
Yeah, you wouldn't really know, like, if you weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Michiganders have a slight Canadian accent, a little bit.
Yeah, I've heard them talk, so it's like, I kind of know where they're coming from. But, yeah, so this one, definitely, I think, if you have kids that are, you know, 9, 10, something like that, and you want to get them into horror and are looking for some movies to kind of ease them into it that are scary but not too scary, this is actually a really good one.
Yeah.
Because there's some gore in it. There's some, you know, there's some bad language, which, you know, the two of the sisters' friends, like, tell the two boys to stop fagging off. Yeah. To which he replies, he says something like, suck on my nose till my head caves in or something like that. And I was like, okay. But yeah, so there's, you know, there's some bad language and there's some kind of like language they probably wouldn't use anymore. And there, but you know, there's some gore and stuff.
It's a movie of its time.
But it's got like a really good message to it. And if you, you know, if you have a kid that's like super into or wants to get into horror and, you know, and looking for something that's scary but not too scary, this is actually a really good one. Like I said, I would also recommend The Lady in White if you're really into like more like ghost story type stuff, like not so much gory stuff, like mystery ghost stories. We'll have to review that too, because that's a really good one. And I really liked that when I was growing up as well. But yeah, so definitely check this one out if you haven't seen it. It's free on Tubi. It's free on YouTube. You can see it lots of different places. And I definitely recommend it. It's like, it's even way better than I remembered because I hadn't seen it for many years. And I had kind of, it was on the list, but I decided to pull it up just because Jonna and Scott said that they wanted to see it and said that Scott had been in it. So that's why I'm going to put the picture in there too with the little arrow. But yeah, so definitely check it out.